Today is February the, what, 20th? 20th? Okay. So 1 year and 4 months ago today, October 20th, 2011, who knows what happened? Yes, that's correct. We moved into our apartment 1 year and 4 months ago today. Exactly. I did not plan that, but it worked out well for my intro here. Now, one of the first couple of youth services that we had after I got here, we wanted to pick out a name for the youth group. We wanted to come up with a brand for the youth group. And, of course, we chose Chosen Generation, okay, 1 Peter 2:9. You know, we know that. Does anybody remember any of the other names we talked about? NACL, okay, that's the only other one anybody remembers, which is good because that's the one I wanted to talk about. Let's throw that up there. There we go. I even created a little logo for it. Salt, okay. Salt, some of you are confused. You don't know what that has to do with Jesus. I'm fixing to tell you. I'll go ahead and tell you. Number 38, Matthew, is the 38th book of the Bible, so I went with that. And then it's chapter 5, verse 13 through 16 is where the scripture comes from, which happens to be the scripture we're in tonight, which is why I brought all that up. Thought that was a really cool name option. We chose Chosen Gen, which works, which is really cool as well. But I thought that was really creative. See, this is something I would have never, ever thought of because I hated chemistry, and I tried to forget as much of it as possible. I didn't want that crap taking up any brain space because I knew I wasn't going to need it later. So I would have never even thought of NACL, but I thought it was really cool and creative. And so tonight we're going to talk about salt. Okay, we're in Matthew 5, verses 13 through 16. And, oh, I've got this here. Hang on. I've got it marked and everything. We're going to read through these four verses, and then we're going to break it down a little bit. Let me get it out here. I have it marked. There we go. 13 through 16. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. How many of you guys like salty snacks, like chips, popcorn, pretzels, peanuts, you know, these kind of things? A lot of you guys really like to eat salty snacks. French fries, right? French fries are salty and good. Now, what happens if you get some chips? Or say you go to McDonald's. How many like McDonald's fries? Right? McDonald's fries are awesome for like the first 5 minutes and then they get gross. But for those first 5 minutes, they're like a little slice of heaven because, yeah, after 5 minutes, they get really nasty. You can't touch them and they get greasy and they're gross. But for those first 5 minutes when they're crispy, oh, man, McDonald's fries are good. Well, have you ever had them without salt? Yeah, they're not good. They're bland. They're very boring. And it's like, okay, that's potato-ish kind of. Like, it's not even that, you know, there's no flavor to it. Really lame. You ever had potato chips without salt? Like, what would, like, Lay's be like without salt? Really gross, right? Yeah, I know. They're making new Lay's. They got chicken and waffles. They got three kinds. And I can't remember what the other. Yeah, they're doing a chicken and waffles one. The other one sounded really good, too. Garlic bread. There's a garlic bread Lay's that they're trying out. And there's a third one I can't remember. Anyways. Something like that. I don't know. I saw a commercial about it. But I was like, garlic bread. That sounds kind of good. I'm not going to lie. The ketchup Lay's, that seems weird. Anyways, all right, so back to salt. Stay with me here, okay? So Jesus said, you are salt. You probably have, maybe you've heard of that. If you've been in church, you've heard of it. But again, it's weird. See, we are supposed to be the flavor of the world. The world is supposed to be recognizable by us. See, those potato chips are recognizable because of their saltiness. If the salt isn't there, it's something different. In the same way, the world should be recognizable by us. They ought to go, oh, yeah, that's what makes the world what it is. You know, the salt, those folks, that's cool. Now imagine you go to the store and you buy light bulbs. Okay, you get the little swirly ones now, you know. They're energy efficient or something, and that's what we've got in our house. Just because that's what they had in there when we got there. But, you know, you buy those light bulbs. Now when you get home, where are you going to put the light bulb? In a lamp, yeah. Huh? In a drawer if you don't need them yet. Okay, that's not quite where I thought you were going, but that's true. Assuming you need one, where are you going to put it? In the socket. Now, are you going to put it in the room where there's already light? In the darkness. There we go. Now we're getting there. Okay. Yeah, you don't put a light. You don't put a fresh light bulb in the room that already has light. That doesn't make any sense. You put it where the darkness is, right? Because if it's in the room where there's already light, it doesn't do that much good. Why? Because Jesus said you are the light of, what did Jesus say? You're the light of what? The world, not the light of the church. Okay? Now, that's not to say we shouldn't come to church. We should, and we need good Christian relationships. You know, in the last series, we spent a lot of time talking about Proverbs 27:17, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. But, and we have to have that, but our whole point, we are the light of the world. We have to be in the world. We have to be near the people that don't have the light so that we can be doing what we're called to. If you put a light bulb in a room where there's already light, it doesn't do any good. The light bulb has to be where the darkness is. And so we have got to be where the darkness is. We've got to have friends who don't know Jesus. We've got to be around people that don't know Jesus. You know, for me, that's hard. You know where I work? I work here. Okay, like all day, I'm here. Some of y'all didn't know that. Some of y'all thought this was part-time. It's a full-time job. I spend my whole day here. And I love my job. It's an awesome job. Get to hang out with Pastor and Manon because they're the ones who are in the office with me most of the time. But I don't see a lot of unsaved people here, okay? Let's be honest, right? Like, when I spend your time at the church, you see a lot of people who already know Jesus. So, for me, I have to make a little more effort. I have to go, you know, that's part of the reason I play in the OC band, and, you know, I do things like that. I teach trumpet lessons. It's because it gets me out. It gets me out of the church and gets me around people that don't necessarily know Jesus. For you guys, it's a lot easier because you're already around them all the time, okay? I mean, just in the past, like, 3 weeks, there's been several incidents with people bringing airsoft guns, and there was a dude outside Permian a couple weeks ago with a gun. Just today at one of the schools, one of the junior highs, there was a gun incident, and I can't remember which one it was, but I saw it on Twitter, the ECISD Twitter that Mike runs. But I saw it today. Okay, if that doesn't tell you that there are people that need Jesus in school, then you're not paying attention. So we know you guys spend all day around people who don't need Jesus, but it's really easy for us as Christians to avoid those people, right? It's easy for us to find our friends who go to another church or maybe go to our church and just hang out with them all time. It's easy to do that. I know it is. So we've got to be in the darkness. We've got to find people to hang out with who don't know Jesus. Now, we are to be salt and light, or as I like to put it, lightly salted, okay? We are to be lightly salted. And there's three specific ways that I'm going to talk about tonight, how we can apply that, how we can be, oops, that was not off like I thought it was, lightly salted in the world today. The first one is in our thoughts, okay? We should be different. We should be different than the world in our thoughts. Romans 12:2, really famous verse, do not conform then to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And it goes on. But that's the main point that I want to get to tonight. Okay, we should not be thinking like the world. Now, when I talk about that, let's get specific here. Let's get specific, all right? Imagine somebody in the hallway trips and drops all their books. Okay, they trip and they drop all of their books. What is the natural worldly reaction? To point and laugh is the natural worldly reaction, okay? The way most people think, they're going to point and they're going to laugh, okay? They might eventually help, but first things first, we got to point and laugh, right? Okay, and I'll admit, that's something that would come naturally for me, okay? We're all sinners. We all have worldly minds. We're all born sinners, and so we all have that kind of natural reaction, but what is the Christian thing to do? What is the godly reaction? To go and help them out, right? Some of you were there already, okay? That's a thought. That's a thing that, you know, we have to think about that. Oh, man, that guy fell. The first thought, okay, that's somebody I need to help. That's somebody who needs my help. I'm in a position to help them. That's cool. I should do that. The second way, the second area in which we should be lightly salted is in our actions, in the things that we do. Okay, Matthew 5:16, it's part of this scripture. I didn't have to go outside of it for this particular example. Says, in the same way, let your light shine before men so that they may see your what? Good deeds. It's even in humongous type up there on the screen. They may see your good deeds to glorify and glorify your Father in heaven. We have to act differently than those around us. If we're not acting differently, then we're not flavor. If there's a bunch of boring French fries without salt, and there's another one that supposedly has salt, but it tastes just like the other ones that doesn't have salt, then it's not doing any good, right? Okay, you put that salt in there, you put a good salted peanut French fry in there, some of that salt's going to fall off on the other ones, it's going to rub off a little bit, they're all going to taste a little better, okay? We have to act, our good deeds, the things that we do, have to be a part of the way we are different than the world. Now, that's not to say salvation is earned by works, because it's not. If you're here for Romans, our Sunday night series, we talked about that, about faith through works versus or salvation through faith. But we're not saved because of good works. We're saved so we can do good works. Okay, that's the way that works. That's the way that all kind of fits together. And the third one is this, is in our speech. Thoughts, actions, and speech. Okay? We're in Ephesians 4:29. It says, "Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen." Go back to that list. Yeah. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth. So when you hear those friends telling that off-color joke, right? This one hurts because in high school I laughed at a lot of really inappropriate jokes. Okay? I'll admit, I still like a good joke, and my sense of humor is not always the best. I can freely admit that. It's something I struggle with at times. Okay? We should not be participating in that, encouraging that kind of speech. It's not godly. It's not wholesome. Okay? It certainly doesn't build up others. Okay? When your friends are making fun of somebody or whatever, you know, that doesn't build people up. We have to speak differently than those around us. Okay, we have to speak differently than those around us so that we can show the difference in ourselves. So that we can show the difference between ourselves and somebody else. So three ways we have to be different than those around us. Thoughts, actions, and in speech and in our words. If you had a friend who lived in a house with no lights, okay, didn't have any light bulbs, had light sockets, electricity was turned on, didn't have any light bulbs, and you had a closet full of light bulbs, what would you do? You'd give them some dang light bulbs, right? Thank you. You're very, very helpful there. Sell them the light bulbs. Okay, well, that's not quite where I was going. Give them the light bulbs was the answer I was looking for. Some of y'all were with it. Some of y'all knew what I was, kind of where I was leading there. Okay, you give them the light bulbs. Okay, see, now all of you guys, every week you get to come here and you get to know about Jesus. You get to hear me talk about Jesus. You get to become more like Jesus. You got friends who don't have Jesus. They don't know Jesus yet. But you have that, and you can give that to them. You see, next week is Bring a Buddy Week, and I don't do that just so we can pad our numbers. You know, it's not just so I can, when I hang out with Blake and Steve-O, we can do the, "Hey, how many is your youth group running?" Right? That's the first thing every pastor in the world asks another pastor. "Hey, how many are you running?" I don't do it for that. I mean, numbers are good because numbers represent people that are getting to know Jesus. And today we were talking about how the church is growing over the past few months. We can see in the numbers the church is growing. But really, that doesn't mean anything for me or pastor that we're great. It just shows that God is great and more people are getting to know him. In the same way, when I do Bring a Buddy Night, it's not so that I can go, "Hey, we had this many kids there." It's so I can go, "Hey, God got to touch this many people that night or that week or whatever it may be." So that's why we do Bring a Buddy Night. You know, I've met many of your friends, and many of them go to other churches. They go to First Baptist, they go to Cornerstone, they go to Crossroads, or wherever else, and that's great. Bring a Buddy Night is not for them. They're already plugged into a church. That's great. Let them be plugged into that church. Bring a Buddy Night is about bringing people who need to meet Jesus so that you can give them something that you already have that they need. See, the question was asked. I heard Louis Giglio ask this question, and it messed me up pretty good. Said, who is praising God now who wasn't before because of your light? Who can you say, you know what? My light shone on them. They saw that. They were attracted to that. And now they're in a relationship with Jesus because of me. That's an incredible thing. But has that happened for you? Can you say, yeah, man, this guy or this girl or this friend, whatever, is there because of that? That's a challenge for you guys tonight. This whole tonight kind of leads into next week. You know, I don't really know what Pastor Todd's going to preach about specifically, but I know he's going to talk about Jesus. And he's going to offer people a chance to meet them, to meet Jesus. And so next week, I want you to bring a bunch of friends, not so that I can shave my head, although I will if we get 50, not so that Wes can dye his hair, although he will if we get 50, but so that that many people have a chance to meet Jesus, so that you can be salt and you can say, you know what? Yeah, that guy, through the grace of God, I was able to help that guy or girl meet Jesus. That's the whole point. That's the whole reason we're doing this. I don't have this job so that I can just keep preaching to the same 16 kids. And I love you guys, so don't hear that. I'm not knocking you guys. I love the heck out of all of y'all. You know that, okay? If I haven't done a good job of telling you that or showing it, I apologize. I do my best. But it's so that more people can meet Jesus. I did a sermon on, I did a series on evangelism maybe a year ago now, last spring, early summer, I think. I did prayer and then evangelism. I talked about if each of you, one a year, if you met one person a year and led them to the Lord, we run about 15 every week in here lately. That's been our average. So that means next year at this time we'd be running how many? 30. Then 2 years would be how many? 60. Okay, it's exponential. Then 3 years would be how many? 120. Then what? 240. Okay, and so forth and so on. It keeps growing. Yeah, math boy there. It keeps growing exponentially. It just keeps adding and multiplying and multiplying. And that's what should be happening. That's what could be happening. We've got to do that. We've got to develop a heart for that, for those who are lost. We cannot be just comfortable hanging out at church and coming and getting fed without ever sharing that with anybody. You know what happens to somebody who keeps eating, but never gets rid of any of that? They get fat. Yeah, they get fat, okay? All right, you get fat, you become a fat Christian, not physically. But if you keep getting fed and you keep getting fed and you're never sharing it with anybody, you get spiritually fat. Okay, we shouldn't be spiritually fat. We shouldn't be physically fat either. Some of us are having a problem with that. But shut up, Draven. We shouldn't be spiritually fat. I want you guys to share what you have with your friends. I want you to bring them here so that we can show them Jesus and we can lead them into that relationship. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, tonight, God, I pray, Lord, that you would break our hearts for what breaks yours, and that's for those who don't know you, Lord. Your heart breaks for the people who haven't met you yet or who haven't accepted you. And so tonight, God, I just pray that you would give us a heart for the lost. I pray that you would give us a heart for those who need you, that you would give us a desire to bring them to you, not so we can pat our own stats or we can look good, but Lord, so that you can be glorified and so that we can see your name made great and those who have a relationship with you, God, just explode in Odessa. Pray that you would give us courage to talk to people. Lord, sometimes it's hard to talk to people about church or invite them to church. I pray that we would not have that issue, that we would have courage to talk to them, that we would have the strength to know what to say and the wisdom to say the right thing, Lord, and to reach them. And I pray right now, even now, God, each person here probably has a friend or two or three in mind just because of this sermon. They've already got friends in mind. And so tonight, right now, I begin lifting those people up to you, God, that you would soften their hearts, that when these guys go to talk to them over the next week, Lord, they would be ready to receive what is spoken to, God, that they would be ready to hear about you and they would be ready to hear the gospel, God, so that come next Wednesday, Lord, come our Bring a Buddy Nights, God, come whenever they are ready to receive you, God, to meet you in a way they haven't before. I pray for those hearts right now. I pray that you would soften their hearts. You would make them tender, God, that they would be able to know you are real and that they would be able to feel your peace and your Holy Spirit's work even now, God. Even right now on a Wednesday night before they're going to come to church, God, even this minute, Lord, that they would know that you are real and something is happening. God, their life is about to change. There's a sense of expectation and a spirit of expectation, God, even right now, Lord. God, you've done so much for us that we don't deserve, and we just want to share that with those around us, Lord. That's our whole goal here, God, is to go into all the world and make disciples. Lord, I pray that we would remember that it would be drawn to our mind at the opportune times, Lord, that we would not forget why we're here, God, and that's to glorify you by making you known to more people, God, to draw people to you, to make you known and make more disciples, God. God, I thank you and I love you because you're way better to us than we deserve. God, again, I just lift up each need, physical and spiritual and mental, God, whatever it may be. You know every need. And so tonight, God, I thank you for these kids. I lift them up to you that they would be blessed as they go and as they come. God, we praise you. We love you. And it's in your name we pray. Amen. Amen.